come back to the present moment. Now we are trying to listen. So far we were keeping our attention on our body, but now we are trying to open up ourselves to some information coming through the laptop or computer. Okay, actually we were discussing Anapanasati Sutta. So this is one of the interesting topic. Today also actually I have guided you through Anapanasati, that is mindfulness on in-breath and out-breath. Actually, this is taking us a long path. So in one given time, Buddha was staying at Migaramatu Pasada. You know that Kema has donated that to the Buddha Sasana. And at that time, Buddha and many monks were staying there. So at that occasion, Buddha understood the young monks were very diligent and they were practicing diligently according to the elders' advices. There were many elder bhikkhus like Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana, Venerable Ananda, Mahakassapa. So all the well-known arahants and well-known elders are there. And they are instructing the newcomers, novices, novice monks. And these novice monks also practicing diligently. So at that time, Buddha decided without going on the, at the end of Vassa period, typically Buddha goes on traveling. But this time, Buddha decided to stay another 1 month at the same place in Travasti. So at the end of that extended month, Buddha checked the mind of this gathering, and he understood that most of them are practicing in different manner, and they all have actually developed a fair amount, and he wants to help them to cultivate further, improve further, and as a result, he preached this Anapanasati Sutta. It's available in Majjhima Nikaya. And the kind of the unique feature of this Anapanasati Sutta is that he is prescribing it in a special manner so that it will help us to cover all four foundations of mindfulness. You know, there are four foundations of mindfulness. One related to the body, Kaya Anupassana. Second related to the feelings, Vedana Anupassana. Third, related to the mind, Chitta Anupassana. And fourth, related to various phenomena, Dhamma Anupassana. So, Buddha is coming up with a strategy, kind of a methodology, to fulfill all these four types of Satipatthana. So, this is one of the important points. And he is coming up with 16 steps. First, four steps belonging to Kaya Anupassana. Second, four steps belong to Vedana Anupassana. Third, four steps belonging to Chitta Anupassana. And the last four steps belonging to Dhamma Anupassana. So, at this point, I thought of showing you, let me see. Suranga, can you show that 16 steps what you have prepared? Is it possible?
Yeah, I will share.
Yeah. So if you can simply show it to the, to the. And so the point here is the first four steps Buddha is explaining that you have to keep our attention on the breath basically. So the breath can appear either longer or shorter. So we are not making them longer or shorter, rather it happens. So we simply acknowledge, we simply open up ourselves and keep our attention on breath. So at that time we are able to recognize sometimes it may be long in breath, sometimes it may be short in breath. Sometimes it may be long out breath, sometimes it may be short out breath. So likewise, we accept it. We are not making them long or short, but rather we recognize it as longer or shorter. When it happens, we recognize. And as a result, our mindfulness further improves. In a way, it is sharpening. And actually, it is in a way, sampajanya, that is called clear comprehension. Now, we are able to show that we are able to understand now the breath is either longer or shorter. So, this is what mentioned in Kayanupassana section. This is what now Suranga has shown. The first one is Digangvasa Santo Digangvasa Samiti Pajana. You all can see from the screen. That means that when breath is longer, you can see that. You can recognize that. Similarly, when the out-breath is longer, you can see that. You can recognize that. Similarly, when the second stage, Rassangvasa Santo Rassangvasa Samiti Pajana. When it is shorter, you can recognize that. So it's a simple recognition, simple understanding whether the breath is longer or shorter. Then we are coming to the third one, that is Sabbakaya Patisangedi Asasisamiti Sikkati, where different stages of the breath can be recognized. What I mean is, now it is not that breath begins in a sort of abrupt manner, suddenly, rather it's a kind of a gradual growth is there. It's like a Gaussian curve. There are slight growth is there. Very soft, gradual growth is there. So that is the beginning. And then we reach the middle and then we go to the end. And there could be a slight gap as well, just before the out-breath begins. Then the out-breath begins. And once out-breath is considered, it also has a slight beginning, soft beginning, and then that also increasing. And we are reaching the middle part, and then we are coming to the end. So then there's another little gap just before the beginning of the in-breath, next in-breath. So likewise, this is going on in a cycle. So the yogi is expected to see whether he can recognize all these very subtle phases of the breath. You know, breath itself is a very subtle phenomena. So recognizing this kind of subtle characteristics requires very refined mindfulness. So you can't do it when you are thinking about the past or when you are thinking about the future. Rather, you have to concentrate on the breath very carefully. Then only you would be in a position to recognize this. Therefore, Buddha uses a particular term called sikkati. Sikkati means you have to restrain yourself. You can't shift your attention to any other object. Rather, you have to keep your attention very precisely on breath. Then only you would be able to recognize these different phases of the breath. Now, as a result of this very careful attention, now the one interesting phenomenon happens. That is, the breath starts to calm down. Breath starts to become more and more subtler. This is not that your mindfulness reducing, rather the breath becomes very subtler. So that we need to very clearly understand. Sometimes we might misunderstand thinking that our mindfulness is now reducing or getting poor. But rather what happens is the breath becomes very subtle and subtle, subtler and subtler. Now we have to facilitate this process. So this is what in the fourth stage, Passambhayam Kaya Sankharam Asasisamiti Sikkhati. So we are allowing the breath to calm down, allowing the breath to become tranquil. So it's a very soothing kind of a activity where breath becomes softer, gentle, subtle, and the mind also becomes subtle, very soft, very calm, and we facilitate that. And here one challenge is our mind can distract at this stage. Because you know, in order to keep our attention, we need kind of a gross object. Then only it is easy to keep our attention. But now the breath becomes very soft, very gentle, very subtle. So it's in a way a little challenge to keep on such object. So therefore, your mind can distract. So don't worry, you have to again and again practice. Then only you would be able to keep your attention even on this very subtle breath. And again, another problem is that you can even fall asleep because there is nothing much to do. You have to very softly, very carefully keep your attention on the breath, and breath also almost like disappeared. Now, when you are coming to the fourth stage, it's almost like disappeared, and you can't now recognize whether it is the in-breath or out-breath. You know, at the beginning, you were able to recognize it. Now, this is in-breath, this is out-breath. This is how we actually mentally note it. In, out, we did that because we can clearly recognize whether it is the in-breath or out-breath. But when we are reaching the fourth stage, it becomes subtler and subtler. Therefore, it could be difficult for you to recognize even that. Therefore, less activities for the mind, so it can therefore fall asleep. So this is another challenge we have. So we can't go to sleep as well. So practically, when you are doing your meditation, there are possibilities that you might fall asleep. Don't worry. You have to again wake up and come back to the breath. Again, breath becomes subtler. And again, the mind can fall asleep. Again, wake up. Again, come back to the breath. So this is like a kind of exercise where once your mindfulness has fairly refined, then only you will be in a good position to keep your attention on very subtle, very soft situation. So this is where the fourth stage. And Buddha mentioned all these four stages belongs to Kayanupassana. So if you are dealing with any of these stages, you can understand. Now you are practicing Kayanupassana. And now we go to the second section, that is number 5. So that Buddha says belonging to the Vedanupassana. Vedanupassana also has 4 stages. The first stage is Piti Patisangvedi Asasissamiti Sikkhati. So here, now as a result of that very calm, tranquil situation, there can be pleasurable feelings. So when you are going through this process as a beginner, so there could be a possibility that once your breath calms down, whole body also calms down. Now body becomes very lighter and there are all the various pains and heaviness and all these difficulties have gone away. They are at bay. And now you probably can feel subtle, pleasurable sensations. And they can even be some gross pleasurable sensations as well. So, for example, you can even feel kind of goosebumps. You can even feel kind of waves coming and massaging yourself and then going. And body has disappeared. You almost feel like floating. So, likewise, very beautiful pleasurable feelings can occur. So, Buddha says, you have to recognize them as feelings. Don't expect them. Don't wish them to occur again and again. Don't have any kind of a greed towards them. Rather, simply recognize them. Like an outsider, you simply recognize them. Say, for example, when you are watching in-breath. So, in-breath is one phenomena. This watching mind is another phenomena. So, in-breath is in a way the physical phenomena. And the watching mind is in a way the mental phenomena. Similarly here, when your body is going through some pleasurable feelings, so this bodily pleasurable feelings can be in a way one type of phenomena. It can either be bodily or mental. But anyway, that is the object. On the other hand, we are observing them using the mind, and that is the mental process. Now you have to distinguish these two, and you have to have a kind of a separation here that you recognize rupture, you recognize pleasurable feelings as pleasurable feelings. And if you are able to recognize that, then slowly that can become very soft, very gentle. And then we are reaching the number 6, Sukha Patisangvedi, where you feel kind of a contentment. You feel kind of very subtle happiness, kind of inner peace is available. And that too, Buddha asks us to recognize. That too has arisen due to causes. And it is not me, it is not mine. But they are all different phenomena due to various causes they have arisen. And now you are recognizing them. So that is the seventh stage. Sorry, sixth stage. Then we are reaching the number seven. Citta Sankhara Patisamvedi Asatisamiti Sikkhati. So Buddha says to recognize all these different feelings and perceptions. Citta Sankhara, the Pali term Citta Sankhara means mental formations. We can translate it as mental formations. That indicates mainly feelings and perceptions. Now, these feelings can become almost disappear because as you know, Piti Patisamvedi, Sukha Patisamvedi, that is number 5 and number 6 are related to the feelings. When we dealt with them very carefully, they can become subtler and subtler and they also can disappear. But next, there could be a possibility of various images can happen. Mental images might appear. They are all signs. They are all mental images. And here Buddha asks us to calm down. Not to give them much emphasis, just to recognize they as different mental perceptions. Say for example, if you are very faithful character, then probably when you are in this kind of situation, that could be a Buddha image, mental image can appear. And you don't need to expect it to appear, but it might appear. If it appear, if you think, okay, this is the Buddha, this is the Gautama Buddha, this is the Buddha in the Anuradhapura, whatever it is, then you get misled. So here we need to understand our eyes are closed. So this Buddha image is simply a mental image, kind of a mind creation. So Buddha particularly say here, all these images, all these signs are nothing but a mirage. So perception, sanya, typically we call them in Pali as sanya. So marichi kupama sanya. Buddha warns us telling, don't go after them, don't give any value to them. Don't think that they are real. They are nothing but illusions, nothing but mirage. So either it may be positive images or either it may be negative images. Say Buddha image, pagoda, Bodhi tree, all these things, probably we can consider them as positive images. On the other hand, there may be devil images, maybe say some terror images, horrible images, whatever it is, that can be negative images. All these are nothing but images. All are simple signs, perceptions. They occur due to various reasons. But here, rather than giving any value to them, rather than considering them as real, we need to recognize, understand they are all very much like mental images. So simply keeping your attention back to breath is another escape here, because breath is available every time as a lifeline. Whenever you are in a difficult situation, you can come back to the breath. And if you are able to tackle this stage, then Buddha says, "Passambhayam citta sankharam asa sissamiti sikkhati." That is what happens if you carefully, skillfully handle this stage, then all the perceptions also calms down. They also almost disappeared, very much like now your mind become fairly empty, fairly spacious. Because you know, typically we have a lot of past memories, all different past memories aroused in our mind, and they sort of fill our mind with various images, mental images. Maybe you have your children's images, your father's image, mother's image, relative's image, friend's image, maybe what you have seen in the news. All these can create various mental images, signs, and all they appear in your mind. But on number 8, Buddha advised us to passambhayam citta sankhara. That means you have to allow these all images, signs to calm down, to disappear, to fade away, rather than promoting them, rather than giving any value to them. So this is the 8th stage. Now, if you are able to skillfully handle that, then we can reach Chittanupassana. So Chittanupassana begins with number 9. So here Buddha starts telling, Chitta Patisamvedi Asa Sissamiti Sikkhati. So now we have to start investigating the mind. Now, simply to experience the mind. Now, so far, in a way, especially in Kayanupassana, we are observing various bodily phenomena using mind. So, bodily phenomena we can say as a physical process. Mental phenomena, observing mind, we can say as a mental process. So, we are observing physical process using a mental process. But here in Chittanupassana, everything related to the mind. So, there are various mental processes and we have another mental process to observe that. So, this is one of the important difference. So, this is in a way little difficult for a beginner. So, therefore, Buddha warns in this section telling unless you have a developed mindfulness and develop clear comprehension, don't go into practice Chittanupassana because the mind is in a way kind of a tempting phenomena. The various thoughts, various feelings, emotions going through in the mind could be deluding. So therefore, there's a possibility if you don't have enough mindfulness and clear comprehension, sampajanya, then probably you might get caught. But anyway, if you are a good practitioner, if you are practicing diligently, there is enough time for you to get yourself developed enough and then slowly look at the mind. So one time, actually, one way to measure whether you are capable to get the risk is your own trial and error. Because you don't know immediately, I mean, there is no any particular way to measure whether the present available mindfulness and clear comprehension is enough to tackle this situation. But you have to take a little risk and see. Just to check the mind and assume that the mind is now going through little different thoughts. And that you need to recognize. And one important thing here is now you have to little relax the mind. Now, say for example, your bodily phenomena fairly calm down and the gross feelings and perceptions calm down. Now, therefore, mind is little concentrated in a way, fairly tamed in a way. So, at this time, we should not practice Chittanupassana in a very, restricted manner. But rather, we have to little give some freedom to the mind to play if it likes. I gave you a simple example, kind of a simile last time, that like you are taking your children to a playground and asking them to play as they like. And you are not restricting them. You are not controlling them. But you are giving some freedom for them to play as they like. And you are simply watching them. They are maybe jumping, running, all different playing they are doing. But you as a mother, as a father, you are simply looking at them. Similarly, you have to give some freedom to the mind once you come to the Chittanupassana because you have enough mindfulness. Now you have some confidence that you can tackle the situation. If mind goes in a wrong direction, you can immediately establish your attention back to the breath or back to the body or feelings and you can tackle the situation. You can handle the situation. So that kind of a confidence is available with you right now. Therefore, you can simply allow the mind to play as it like. So this is one important factor. So at this time, so probably you might be able to recognize various types of thoughts. There may be lustful thoughts. There may be aversive thoughts. There may be deluded thoughts. There may be kind of jealousy thoughts. So likewise, different negative thoughts also might be available. And again, there may be loving kindness thoughts. There may be renunciative thoughts. There may be, equanimous thoughts. Likewise, different positive, wholesome thoughts, maybe faithful thoughts. So likewise, different wholesome thoughts also may be available. But one important thing here is that we are not promoting any wholesome thoughts. And again, we are not trying to subside any unwholesome thoughts. Now, the typical approach, what you know about wholesome thoughts is that every time we have to promote them. What you know about unwholesome thoughts is we immediately have to subside them or immediately have to suppress them. But once you come to Cittanupassana, we are not doing any of that. Rather, we are watching them in a non-judgmental manner. We allow them to come and we are in a position to watch, position to observe in a very, equanimous manner. You are now in the audience, but not in the drama. Say you are going to see a drama. One mistake is you might get on to the stage and you also try to become an actor. So this is not necessary. Now, Cittanupassana, you are not supposed to be an actor, but rather you have to be an observer. You have to come back to the audience and look at the drama. So this is the one important aspect that you need to recognize. You need to understand. So how we have to handle this situation. The drama is the various stressful thoughts, hatredful thoughts, maybe deluded thoughts, aversive thoughts, jealousy thoughts. These are all different dramas going on. And even loving kindness thoughts, renunciative thoughts, maybe compassionate thoughts. There are also different types of thoughts. They are not yours. They are not mine. They are not me or mine. Rather, they are simply thoughts. So you should be able to recognize them as simply thoughts, not promoting wholesome or not trying to subside or suppress the unwholesome, but rather allowing any of them to pop up and you simply keep an eye on them, simply watching them. So as a result, they can now go a little far away. They are not disturbing you so much because you now understand they come and go. And as a result, there can be a kind of a happiness, kind of a lightness, kind of a very peaceful situation in the mind. So Buddha says, abhipramodayan cittam astasissāmiti sikkhati. Number 10. Yeah, now your mind become very peaceful because all those values what you have given, this is good, this is bad, this is mine, this is yours. So likewise, this kind of a duality now become little fading and now less pressure, less tension, less stress. So mind become calm, gentle, relaxed. So as a result, you get a kind of an inner very soft contentment. Now, as a result, we come on to the number 11. So more and more you deal like this, then number 11 is the outcome, that is samadhan cittam astasissāmiti sikkhati. Now mind become more and more collected, more and more concentrated, more and more peaceful, because you know how to handle the situation. Whether if it is a loving kindness thought happens, you know how to deal with it. You are not now promoting it. You are not thinking about it. You are not adding anything to it. Rather, you recognize it as a loving kindness thought and allow it to pass away. And assume there's a aversion arising. There's a resentment arise. Some kind of a resistance arise in your mind. You understand that this is a resistance. This is an aversion. This is a hatred. So you recognize that. You are not get panicked about it. You are not hating yourself because the hate has arisen, but hate is nothing but hate. So you call the name in a way. So when you recognize likewise, then it also passes away. So the mind become very comfortable now. So samadhan cittam indicates now the mind become very calm, very quiet, and spacious. As a result, we can come to number 12. Vimocayan cittam astasissāmiti sikkhati. So this is what we need to give some emphasis today. So vimocayan means now you are releasing the mind. You are freeing the mind. So far now you need to understand in Kayanupassana section, we are dealing with some bodily phenomena. So mind has something to deal with. At the end of the Kayanupassana section, they all have calmed down. Now body almost like disappeared or become very lighter. Now the bodily problems, in a way, we call them as problems. So those body related issues, body related problems are almost like disappeared. And then we reach Vedanupassana. So once we reach Vedanupassana, there may be gross pressurable sensations, pressurable feelings, or there may be even slight painful feelings. They also calm down because of your practice. And if there are any perceptions, any signs, they also calms down. They also fade away because you handle them very wisely. Now what is available in the mind? So you little give some freedom to the mind. So assume that as a result, mind become a little distracted. Some lustful thought arise, you handle that carefully. There may be aversion arising, you handle that carefully. There may be little, say, restlessness arising, you handle that carefully. As a result, now different, even wholesome or unwholesome mental thoughts, also they also disappear. Now, what is available? All bodily phenomena very much like disappeared. All feelings, perceptions, signs, say positive or negative thoughts, all disappeared. So, what is available? So basically, nothing is available. So, this is where the vimocha and chittang. So, we are now freeing the mind. Freeing the mind from various bodily phenomena, freeing the mind from various feelings, freeing the mind from various images, signs, freeing the mind from various thoughts and any kind of fabrications. And as a result, mind become more and more spacious, more and more equanimous. It is neither happy nor unhappy. It is more in a very spacious, equanimous state. So you are now freeing the mind from any of those phenomena. Different phenomena arise, they pass away, they go away, and as a result, there is nothing to hold. There is nothing to footing. So almost like now you are losing the address. Now, typically we have an address to keep ourselves. So I have address in Sri Lanka. So probably maybe Suranga has the address in Sydney. So assume that we both lose our address. Now almost like there is no place to stay. So likewise, when a beginner going through this stage, so he might get a kind of a jerk. Because always so far, our mind might used to catch something, hold something, grasp something, cling to something. But now we are reaching a stage where there is nothing to cling, nothing to hold, nothing to grasp. So as a result, the mind becomes utterly free. In a way, temporarily liberated, temporarily free, temporarily unassociated. Temporarily not holding to anything, not bound to anything. So this can happen, but typically we don't give much value to this state. This can happen. It is not something very difficult. But when it happens, immediately we might keep our attention back to the body. Immediately we might keep our attention back to the feeling. Immediately we might trying to find something in our mind. So this is the typical approach. But here the Buddha is emphasizing us, telling Vimocayan Jittang Asasisami Sikkhati, you free your mind, liberate your mind from all these different phenomena. All these are coming and going. Don't trust them. Don't depend on them. Don't think they are you or yours. Don't think them as me or mine or myself. Rather, they come and go. They are all very vulnerable, very transient sankhara. So simply let them go. So your mind become utterly free. Your mind become, in a way, type of empty. Nothing to hold, nothing to keep, nothing to attach to. As a result, your mind become independent. So if you are to connect with Satipatthana Sutta, so Buddha says, in each Satipatthana or in each section of the Kamatahan, there advises there, Buddha says, Anissitocha viharati nachakinchi loke upadhyate. Now that stage is fairly highlighted here in the number 12, where you have come through a very gradual path, very much like letting go of bodily phenomena, letting go of various feelings, letting go of various perceptions, and calming down with various mental formations. And as a result, mind become free. As a result, mind become unattached, unassociating. So this is in a way very temporary, because our minds are still having various anusaya, various latent tendencies. Therefore, whenever they come to the surface, or whenever they become active, mind again go and grasp. Again go and cling. So that is the natural behavior of the mind. We always want to hold something. We always want to attach to something. We always want to cling to something. So this nature, this habit, this underlying tendency now come to the front. Therefore again mind might grasp. So therefore this liberation or this freedom is very temporary. So this is a kind of temporary freedom. But the practice here is further maximizing this freedom. So this is what Buddha encourages us in the Dhammanupassana section, how to strengthen this process, how to facilitate this process, how to maximize this process. So he is coming up with various strategies, showing us or empowering us to understand what are we holding, what are the drawbacks of these holding phenomena. Are they permanent? Are they really pleasurable? Are they really satisfactory? Are they really interesting, permanent, beautiful? Or are they impermanent? Are they transient? So likewise, Buddha is giving us various strategies to empower ourselves, to enlighten ourselves, or to strengthen ourselves, to improve our wisdom, so that this earned liberation, this temporary freedom can become a little longer. So this is what we need to practice discuss in the Dhammanupassana section. So I'll keep it for the next week. So I'll wind up today's sermon with this information, and now I'll open the session for question and answers.
Avasarai Bhante, there are 5 questions today. Question number 1, it's a theory question. Dear Venerable Bhante, I would like to share something related to our Dhamma talk, which I have observed in one of the suttas I came across recently. The sutta is the Greater Discourse of Advice to Rahula, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi, which we call Rahula Vada Sutta in Pali. I have noted that the 16 steps in breathing mindfulness is right in the middle of this discourse, exactly as we have seen in the Anapanasati Sutta, which is the basis of the Dhamma talk. There are multiple aspects and qualities one should develop while doing the 16-step practice, conveyed by the Blessed One in this discourse, and in many places the benefits are highlighted. It is quite encouraging to find that the Blessed One himself gave the same practice of mindfulness on breathing and the 16-step process to his son. This shows how substantial and profound this practice is. It will be great if Bhante can consider to continue with these related suttas after finishing the current Anapanasati Sutta. This can revise and expand our understanding of the 16 steps. Much merits for your valuable service. That's the end.
Yeah, Yeah, good suggestion. Actually, as you have mentioned, it is not only this Anapanasati Sutta explained the 16 steps, but there are many other places Buddha encouraging this practice. Especially in Samyutta Nikaya, there are Anapanasati Samyutta, is a kind of a collected discourses on the same topic. And there are also in many suttas Buddha encouraging this practice. And as you have mentioned in Majjhima Nikaya, Rahulavada Sutta also Buddha mentions that. So definitely at the end of this discourse or this topic, probably we can relate with other suttas so that we can further learn from them as well. Good suggestion. Thank you.
Question number 2 of 5, mindful sitting. Most Venerable Swami Mahansa, last time I was advised to see the pain when I feel. So I started as usual and saw the start, the existing and the end of the breath. When I see the pain, I keep my mind to the pain. I felt a pain in my leg and I was keeping my mind to that pain. It was a heavy pain when starting and eventually reduced. And finally, I was able to see a very little time without pain. Then again, some pain started and reduced, and there was a small time without pain. It is like the breath was starting, existing, and ending. But the time without pain is a very small time. And after some time, I feel another pain. Then I looked at that pain. Like that I was keeping my mind open to the pain. For a moment, my mind went out, and after that, I couldn't see the pain like before. I think they got up, as I cannot bear the pain anymore. At the end of the day, I noticed if my mind goes out when I was looking, the whole breathing cycle feels the pain of the body. Next day, I tried to keep my mind to the breath and no heavy pain came. So I experienced, I can see the pain when emptiness comes after the breath. Then again, I feel the breath and then also the pain. It was not a heavy pain and it goes away when I feel the breath. One time when I felt the pain, I kept my mind to the pain. Then it reduced and yet another pain came. I focused to the pain, then it would disappear and another one would come. Like the pain was jumping from here and there. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually, this is what actually we are learning now. Typically, we think that we have some control over feelings. It may be pleasurable feelings, it may be painful feelings. We think that we have some control. So this is the sort of inherent perceptions we have. But now you understand how it has very less controllability. And it is beyond your control and it is changing. They are coming, they are changing, again they are disappearing. At another time it comes at another place and you can't plan, you can't know it beforehand. So it's like someone else's pain. Even though it is manifesting on your body, it behaves like someone else's. So more and more we understand this. So we get some kind of a dispassion towards these pains. Dispassion towards these even happy feelings, pleasurable feelings. Because they also we can't predict when they are going to arise, how long they will last, and when they disappear, we don't know. So they come when they want to come and they will last till they want and then they will disappear. They actually occur due to causes, due to various contact. They may occur anyway. More and more you observe them, there's a kind of a separation arising, kind of a dispassion arising towards the pain. So this is one of the outcome of the practice. So therefore don't worry, you are in the correct track. More you observe, this kind of an understanding is maturing in yourself. So this cannot happen just by reading the books. This cannot happen just by mental imagination. kind of a proliferation. This won't happen. Through rumination, this won't happen. But rather simple observation or continuous repetitive observation help us to this kind of understanding. This is why it is necessary to do this process for a long time till our mind gets matured, till our wisdom gets matured. It happens very slowly. Today you observe, say, 100 little feelings. Tomorrow you are observing another 100 feelings. Day after tomorrow also you are observing another 100 of feelings. Every day you are adding little wisdom. Every day you are improving a little wisdom. So this is how it is happening. So therefore, observation is one important phenomena, one important characteristic of vipassana meditation. Because through observation only, we can get the proper understanding. Observation is the key to wisdom. Actually, in order to observe, we need to have a samahita chitta. That is a samadhi. That is a concentration. Collected mind. Once we have a collected mind, it is up to us to get the maximum benefit from that collected mind, from that concentrated mind. So what we do is we are using that collected mind as a kind of an apparatus, kind of a instrument to observe the body, to observe the feelings, to observe various perceptions, to observe various formations, fabrications, what is happening in the mind. So all these actually contribute into wisdom. So this wisdom ultimately help us to let go all these and coming up with a kind of an unattached, unassociative, independent kind of a mind. So this is what actually we have discussed today as the number 12, where vimochan chitta. So more and more we observe, more and more wisdom arising, and ultimately we get a kind of a understanding that they all are coming and going. They are not permanent. They are very transient. They are beyond our control. They work according to their own agenda. They are not mine. They belong to someone else. And likewise, our kind of the perspective changes. Our way of thinking, our viewpoint going to change. This is one important aspect of Vipassana meditation. So your results are very positive. So even though they appear like little disturbing and you almost like heartbreak, don't worry. Simply continue your practice and more and more dispassion going to arise because of your continuous practice.
Question number 3 of 7, I think. General question. Can we achieve jhana, specifically the first jhana, in Vedana Pasana or Vipassana meditation? Or is it only samatha or concentration meditation practice which directs to this side? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, through Vedana Anupassana, actually, you can't get into jhana because here you are having feelings, and that feelings are expected to observe objectively rather than considering them as permanent. In order to get on to jhana, you need to have a kind of a notion of permanency. Permanent notion is necessary. Say, for example, if you are going through anapanasati, if you are able to get the anapanasati nimitta, counterpart sign, then that counterpart sign, we have to consider it as a beautiful, very permanent, stationary, still, unchanging kind of an object. So the approach is quite different. So once you have that kind of a positive attitude toward that, then you have kind of an attachment, you have a kind of a appreciation towards that nimitta, and as a result you can get absorbed to it, you can get connected to it, you can get absorbed, you can get you can become just one with it. But on the other hand, in Vipassana, the approach is entirely in a different manner, where you are supposed to see how it evolves. All these phenomena are showing their correct behavior or their natural behavior, their real characteristic. And that is nothing but impermanent. quite unsatisfied, an unself nature. So therefore, more than first jhana, you can go more in a way, I mean, rather than attaining first jhana, there is a possibility of getting to arupa jhana, what you call immaterial jhana, by going through vipassana. That is another aspect available, and this is well explained in Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. That is another deep subject. Actually, if you are interested, you can get into our website, Nisaranavane website, nisarana.lk. There, some time back, I have conducted a retreat in Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta. So there I have explained how a yogi is going through various stages and how Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta is explained, mainly on the vipassana aspect. And there Buddha taking us to a stage, what you call as upekkha nanatta nanatta sita, upekkha ekatta ekatta sita. There are two types of equanimity. One type of equanimity based or derived from the differences, and another type of equanimity based on the kind of uniqueness, kind of the oneness. So that's the second category, actually is belonging to the immaterial jhana or arupa jhana. So therefore, through vipassana you can reach there. But on the other hand, I can give you another little information on what Sayadaw Pandita has mentioned. So there is a beautiful book called In This Very Life. So there, Sayadaw Pandita coming up with a kind of a beautiful comparison of Samatha Jhana and Vipassana Jhana, where when you are going through even Vedana and Upassana, when your mind is not distracting, rather just being with various feelings, that is the only type of or category of objects available, phenomena available, it is not distracting to various other things, it's beautifully getting on to the feeling, and it is observing the feeling, and it is understanding the feeling, and as a result there is a kind of a satisfaction, kind of a piti, and there's a concentration. Therefore, the first samadhi factor, jhana anga, jhana factor, vitakka is available, applied mind is available. And since it's observing it, the second jhana factor, vichara, is also available. And since there are no distractions and you are now very much successful, there's a kind of a happiness also available, the piti also available. And the kind of a contentment is available, you are not unsatisfied, you are quite contented. Therefore, the sukha is also available, that is the fourth jhana factor. And ekagata, the concentration is also available. So therefore, all five jhana factors are available. Therefore, he is coming up with the formula telling, okay, when your mind is well concentrated, likewise, even with the changing phenomena, it's very much like the first jhana. So this is another way of explaining it. So therefore, through vipassana, you can come up with a jhana-like situation using vipassana. This is very much like a first jhana. But on the other hand, if you are purely thinking of the samatha perspective, so samatha approach, there we consider the object is like a permanent object, and as a result, we get absorbed.
Question number, it is number 4 of 8, sitting mindfulness. Venerable Bhante, my sitting practice is based on breathing mindfulness, and most of the time I can focus on the breath quite easily. I observe the differences between inhaling and exhaling, such as coldness when inhaling and warmth when exhaling. I also feel the brushing upwards and downwards nature, the fullness and length of the inhalation and exhalation, and the comparisons between them. After about 5 to 10 minutes, the breath slowly fades away and sometimes vanishes completely. Other times, it becomes very subtle and appears as a tiny blip of sensation. Overall, there is a heightened awareness on the space I am in without any object. Occasionally, thoughts come and go, and there is no huge impact from them on my calmness and relaxation. Once they pass, I feel calm and serene again. This is all I could find so far, but when the time is about to end, which is closer to 45 to 50 minutes, I feel some uneasiness. This sensation is very powerful as it pushes me off from the meditation. It is like an irritation somewhere deep under, an uneasiness which I cannot understand. I tried to be mindful on this multiple times, but cannot observe anything more deeper, and I finished my practice. Recently, when I was keeping heightened mindfulness on the full body of the breath and the gap between the in and out breath during practice, I felt the same uneasiness before the beginning of the breath and when it is ending. There is something irritating underneath, which I cannot understand or observe, but I feel the stress. Please advise if there's something I should be focusing on. With metta. That's the end.
No, actually, this is a good understanding where how this uneasiness happens, how this kind of a resistance happens in the mind. So rather than looking at it in a negative way, so this is something coming out from yourself. Now, when you are reaching towards the end of the session, there's a kind of an uneasiness. There's a kind of an irritation. There's a kind of a resistance. So you need to recognize it. So don't try to push it away. Don't look at it in a negative way. Rather, you understand it. You acknowledge it. Probably so far you are with some pleasurable, pleasant type of feelings. But now only the other guys are coming. Now only the other side is coming. Don't have any kind of a preference towards this. So typically we have a preference towards the positive. And the unhappy attitude towards the pain. So this is the typical approach. So, but as I said in the Dhamma sermon, when we are coming to the Chittanupassana section, we have a kind of a non-judgmental approach. Either it may be wholesome, either it may be unwholesome. Either it may be pleasant, either it may be painful. We are in the middle. We are almost like trying to maintain ourselves in the middle, kind of an equanimous position, kind of an in an equilibrium, where we are not promoting the wholesome, or we are not promoting the happy side. And again, we are not trying to suppress the unwholesome or suppress the unhappy side. But we are in the middle to look at them objectively. So this is kind of an understanding. This is kind of a maturing has to happen within ourselves. So therefore, just open up yourself, okay? Let this irritation happen. Let this resistance happen and you recognize it. You see them objectively. Let it come and I acknowledge it. So it is there and I simply see it. I observe it. I welcome it. So I keep it under the mindfulness and watch it. So these are the different turning points in our meditation. So otherwise we are simply going on in a kind of a prototype. Otherwise simply we are going on in a stereotyped framework. But these places actually helping us to expand our understanding, to come out of the box, to come to have some kind of insights about our practice. So these don't take this as negative outcomes or negative feelings. Rather, they are also part of our practice and open up to them.
Question number, this is 5 of 9. Bhante, is it okay if we go a little bit over time?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, this is for sitting mindfulness. When sitting, the breath is unnoticeable. However, the heartbeat is quite prominent. My attention moves from breath, heartbeat, and thoughts. Dear Bhante, is the way I meditate correct? Or is there anything else I need to look at or change? Much merits. That's the end.
What are the two phenomena, Chatu? Heartbeat and thoughts.
It goes, my attention moves from breath to heartbeat and thought. So three objects.
Three of them. Yeah. Actually, if you can look at them without having much preference, that's also nothing to worry. Because when it is moving to heartbeat, so you can watch it. When it is looking at thoughts, you can watch it. When it's going through thoughts, you can watch it. And when it is coming back to breath, that's also possible. That also you can observe. But only thing is, as I said in the Cittanupassana section, if you don't have enough mindfulness, when thoughts come, while you are watching, you might get carried away. You might get caught to them. You might become a victim of these mental processes, various thought patterns. That is one risk available. On the other hand, when you are going through heartbeat, there is the possibility of you might get distracted. But if not, if any of these things are not happening, if you are sort of capable of handling all this, probably you can go ahead. Say when your mind is available with in-breath and out-breath, you can observe it. You can watch it carefully. So you, in a way, kind of a scrutiny. Yeah, very precisely you understand, okay, this is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end, this is the gap, this is the beginning of the out-breath, this is the middle, this is the end, this is the gap, this is the beginning of the next in-breath. So likewise, you are in a very careful observation. So this leads to enhance your mindfulness, enhance your clear comprehension. As a result, now assume there's a thought arising in your mind. Now you can watch it as well. So therefore, I don't think that you are in a big trouble, but rather let it happen again and again. And when breath is available, when you can watch it, when your attention is with that, try to keep your attention much clearly on them. Very precisely, as I mentioned, seeing the beginning, middle and the end. So therefore, mind has some tasks to do. So while your mind has this task to do, so it can't go to the other objects. Therefore, likewise, you can come up with different strategies. I hope you can succeed.
Question number 6 of 9, sitting mindfulness. Venerable Sir, in my practice recently, instead of frequently redirecting my attention to the breath, I have been experimenting. I have been allowing myself to focus on different sensations if they come, usually negative ones, for example, pins and needles in legs or an itch or etc. I have observed that the less painful I perceive a sensation to be, the easier it is to simply observe with less aversion. I am beginning to understand what you mean when you explain the difference between watching the thoughts and becoming involved with it. Sometimes, as I watch these negative sensations, I get some useful thoughts, maybe a solution to a problem, or something I think is a useful life lesson. All these come up because I was watching the painful sensation. Sometimes I actively redirect myself back to the breath. Other times I get involved in the thoughts. And other times I simply watch the thought, and when it ends, I go back to the breath or watching my sensations. I sometimes feel some increased sensitivity in some moments, whether happy or sad thoughts, and I sometimes find myself even crying. As soon as this passes, I go back to my breath and I am calm and normal. This is completely new for me in my practice. Am I getting more attached with the thoughts than I think? Is there a reason it is happening at this stage? Much merits for your thoughts. That's the end.
Yeah. So this kind of understandings have different kind of impact on ourselves. Say when we understand, okay, we were dealing with kind of a rut. We were dealing with kind of a garbage. And simply when our mind get released, and our mind become free, so we understand we were in a utter mess. Now only the mind has some freedom. Now only kind of an unattached, unassociated, unburdened kind of mind is available, kind of state of mind is available. So this is kind of an opening. At that time, kind of an inner jerk can happen, inner sort of tears can happen. Say your eyes might get wet, tears might come, because you understand I was in an utter mess. Unnecessarily, I was inside a lot of garbage, inside a burden. But now only, even for a short time, I was released. I was come out of the mud, something like that. So therefore, just your experiences are normal. Don't think that it is only happened to you. There are various other people have reported this kind of experiences. Let it happen again and again. So more and more you understand, more and more letting go can happen. So when you are able to understand bodily phenomena, when you are observing them, you are, as I said, you are sort of strengthening part of your wisdom. More you observe various feelings, you are strengthening part of your wisdom. More you observe the mind, you are strengthening part of wisdom. So everything is contributing. So don't think any of the sessions are failures. All your meditation sessions are contributing to the practice. Actually, Buddha is explaining five faculties: Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Saddha is the faith. Virya is the effort. Sati is the mindfulness. Samadhi is the concentration. Panya is the wisdom. So our practice is contributing to all these different factors then and there. So therefore, you simply can continue. Your experiences are, quite positive in a way.
Question number 7 of 9. This is for day-to-day activities. Dear Venerable, at the beginning of the day, I want to be mindful as much as possible during the day. My job involves me talking quite a lot, and I conduct sessions and a lot of conversations involving explaining things to people. At times, I notice I have shorter breaths and pressure in the chest area, and I also, for some days, feel tired at the end of the day. How can I keep mindfulness while I have a conversation? Any advice is much appreciated with metta. That's the end.
So actually, being aware or being mindful while talking, while conversing with another person is little difficult. So therefore, before you do that, you come to this stage, you better do walking meditation and sitting mindfully. So that is the area to strengthen yourself. Say, for example, assume that a soldier has to go to the war front. So it's a very dangerous place. It's a very terrible and extremely fatal. And therefore, if he immediately go there, he will get died. He get killed. But rather, he strengthen his skills while being in the training camp. And they probably, then he goes to a kind of middle area where less kind of risk is available. And only the, say, most capable, skillful, are the ones going to the more fearful stages, because they can handle it, they can tackle the situation. Likewise, there are activities where you can easily mindful. Say, for example, while you are observing the breath, so you can, if you are not much distracted, you can handle it. When we consider rising and falling, you can handle it, because it's a kind of a bodily phenomena. Probably while sitting, while meditating, you are simply alone. So you can find a kind of a secluded place and you can practice. And on the other hand, if you do walking meditation, while your legs are touching the ground, you can keep your attention there. On the other hand, suppose all alone, if you are brushing your teeth, you can be mindful. If you are eating alone without much distraction, you can be mindful. But on the other hand, if you consider a conversation, that's a different category. We are a little difficult situation, because you have to think what you have to talk. You might have to prepare what you have to talk. You have to plan what you have to talk. At the same time, you have to see the audience. You have to get the response. You have to see their facial expressions. So likewise, you have to handle many situations. So Actually, this is also possible, but beforehand, you need to strengthen yourself using other easy activities. There are maybe various day-to-day activities which are more easier than this. So therefore, first try to develop mindfulness using those easy activities, and later you can slowly, slowly apply yourself even during a conversation. Say, for example, when you are well mindful, you have a very developed kind of mindfulness. So while during a conversation, you can even watch your mind, how you are trying to emphasize a particular fact, how you are trying to show off, how you are trying to, say, accept something. Is there any kind of an ego arising in our mind? Are we trying to suppress another person? Are we trying to strengthen someone's, say, idea? Or are we trying to suppress another one's idea? So likewise, various mental states are arising in our mind when we are going through a conversation. So while you are going through the conversation, if we have a little thread going on in our mind, have a little observing mind, probably you may be able to understand various this kind of activities or this kind of different say perspectives available in our mind, different mental states available in our mind. And that more we understand that, more clearly we can deliver our speech, more clearly we can do our task. Because when we are trying to take the upper hand, when we are trying to say condemn another, when we are trying to sort of show off, or when we are trying to build an ego, so then we can't actually properly handle the task. But on the other hand, if we are sort of connecting with others, when we are in sync with the others, when we understand their expression, then we can actually successfully deliver our speech. We can have a good dialogue. We can have a good understanding about the audience. Therefore, this is possible, but we need to do some homework in order to handle this.
Question number, I think it is 8 of 9, theory question. Dear Venerable Swami Mansa, can you explain the difference between the 10th and 11th factors of Chittanupassana you explained today? How can you distinguish them? Thanking you. That's the end.
Oh, yeah. Suranga, can you show that Chittanupassana section? So Chittanupassana starts with Chitta Patisangvedi. That is the number 9. And then 10 is Abhipamodayan Chittam. 11 is Samadhan Chittam. So you are asking which one? Chatu?
It was 10 and 11.
Yeah, 10 actually, 10 is very much like you are very much like satisfied. Say, because your mind become a little clear now. Less disturbances, less defilements. So therefore, very much like little satisfaction. Actually, these are quickly happening. I mean, even though Buddha has sort of clarified that as a one stage after the other, but when we are going through it, probably we can quickly get on to these different stages. As I said, sometimes certain stages can be skipped. Because it is not that every time when we meditate, we have to go through all these steps one by one. Maybe it is happening, but later, all these steps happen very quickly and you may be ending up with the one stage very quickly, immediately. So likewise, in Abhipamodayan Chittam, the idea is like you are gladdened in the mind. You are appeasing the mind, pacifying the mind. So because now, different defilements are calmed down, even the positive thoughts are calmed down, less thinking now. So assume that your mind is, you are used to go through various types of thinking, endless thinking. But when you reach number 10, it's less thinking, less burdening. So you almost like heavy load has taken out. So you feel like very lighter now, very soft, very gentle. Mind has become very calm. So it's improved state is number 11, samadhan chitta. Now your mind is well collected. It doesn't want to go out. It has found some refuge within yourself. It has found some calmness within. It doesn't expect happiness from outside, but rather it is now quite contented within, contented internally, contented with less activities. Typically, we are searching contentment using various things. Say someone is going after money, trying to find happiness. Someone is going after movies, trying to find happiness. Another one is going after music for finding happiness. So likewise, we have various ways of finding happiness. But at this stages, so mind is internally happy, internally contented. And therefore, it is collected. It doesn't want to go out. It is not that with effort that you are keeping it collected, keeping it concentrated. But as a result of there is nothing much to do, as a result of less activities, as a result of emptiness, it is actually reaching the emptiness, that is number 12. So now it becomes less and less burdened, less and less, burden. Now it's heavy, the load become less and less. We are continuously carrying something in our mind. All that garbage is now unloaded. Now our Lokasayanasi used to give a very nice word I don't like to use. You know, but Lokasayanasi is using that we are carrying a load of akka, you know. So we are used to carry all this garbage in our mind. So with the practice, we understand it's unnecessary, not necessary. So we have now unloading, letting go. So the practice itself is making ourselves contented, making ourselves lighter. And Buddha giving a very beautiful example. Buddha says, if you have to cross the ocean or even a river, assume that you are driving through a boat. And if there are a lot of water and a lot of other, say garbage or baggage or whatever is available in your boat, then it is very heavy. So you can't quickly cross over. So therefore Buddha asks us to unload the boat. Unload the boat so that it becomes lighter. It becomes less heavy. So therefore you can paddle it very quickly. You can row it quickly and you can cross the river very easily. He is giving this simile related to the mind. So our mind is filled with various things. Maybe filled with past memories, filled with future hopes, filled with various plans, filled with various perceptions. So our mind is well corrupted, congested, all garbage. So as a result of our practice, it helps us to unload this whole heavy information, whole heavy, perceptions, feelings. And as a result, it becomes lighter and lighter, spacious, more empty, and less burdened. And therefore, it is kind of a pleasant experience. So there's a difference between 10 and 11. It's a kind of, you can say the samadhan is more into a kind of a tranquility, more into kind of peace, collectedness. And abhipumodayan is kind of you are now getting on to that track. You are now preparing yourself. You are gladdening yourself because you now your mind is now less troubled. You don't need to worry about much things. Yeah.
Sorry, one second. Question 9. This is the last one. It's actually a feedback one. It's a good one. I really like this session. Is there a way we can have it every day? Theruvan Sirnai.
Maybe it may not be possible, but I mean, but anyway, I'd like to thank Surang, Chamila, Chatu, all are taking a lot of effort to improve it and to keep it consistent. And this Mrs. Badra also, she's actually the one who is coordinating the whole event. So there are actually many people contributing, and therefore it is going on well. So I feel that the current rate is enough, that we are having a weekly session, and there are various other activities we have. One actually for the English speaking audience, I can announce another good news. Another thing is that from next Wednesday, we have a Dhamma sermon, very much like a Sutta teaching. From Sri Lanka time, it is starting on 7 a.m. So I think it's a convenient time for you. If any of you are interested, you can join. And I can pass the information. I don't know whether probably already Suranga might have got it. So it is organized by Jennifer from US. So from Sri Lanka time, it is at 7 a.m. So on coming Wednesday, I hope to start that. And another session is on Kalalgoda Zoom meeting. That is actually a monthly event. And again, Lokasavinasa is conducting also another monthly event in English medium. And again, Lokasavinasa is conducting Friday. Every Friday from 6:30 to 7:30, there's another session by Banthi Dhammajiva, Lokasavinasa, and Venerable Sunanda are handling that. So there are various activities available. So probably you can join with those as well.
Thank you, Banthi. So that was the last question we had. So we've gone a little bit over time, which is, I think, usual. We seem to do it all the time, which is good. We had lots of good questions. Probably the only question I didn't see was something on walking, but we had a mix of day-to-day sitting, theory questions, a whole bunch of them. And I think actually what I forget to do every time is thank, I always give thanks to Banthe, but I also forget to thank the organizers working behind the scenes. And also, most importantly, is to thank everyone who's actually given up their time and come to this and actually done the practice, because without you, then there's no point in this session. So with that, I'd like to pass our gratitude and merits to Banthe and everyone who's involved. And with that, we'll end the session. Theruvan Sirnai. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Theruvan Sirnai.